Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Yeah, thank you very much, Randy. Do remember, as always, you can contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And the resources that we talk about on the broadcast, you can, as always, find on the web at equip.org. I want to kick off the broadcast today by talking about Holy Saturday, something that we celebrated the day before yesterday, this past Saturday, at least in the Eastern Church, and 2 weeks ago in the West. So we celebrated Lazarus Saturday first, the day that Christ raised his friend Lazarus from among the dead. And then a week later, the Saturday that I'm referring to for the Eastern Church 2 days ago, and for the Western Church a week and 2 days ago. Anyway, a week later on the Saturday following Holy Friday, in any case, we're reminded that we too, like Christ, will one day breathe our last. So for many decades of my life, the great sorrow of Christ's passion on the cross quickly gave way to, well, the inexpressible joy of Easter Sunday. And yet, without an appropriate emphasis on the great and the mysterious celebration of the Holy Saturday in between Christ's passion on the cross, or Good Friday, and Pascha, or Easter, we miss something very significant. Why? Because Holy Saturday marks one of the most enigmatic of all mysteries. This is the mystery of Christ's descent into Hades, being put to death in the body, says Peter. He was made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water, says the Apostle Peter, symbolizes baptism, which now saves you also. Peter here is reminding us of two great and glorious truths. First, that you and I are saved through water. And secondly, that the descent of Christ into Hades inaugurates resplendent triumph, a triumph by which Christ tramples down death by death. First, after being buried in the waters of baptism, we arise to a radically rearranged life. We were buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so too we may live a new life, a life in which we are commissioned by Christ himself to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Ecumenical patriarch Bartholomew I perhaps said it best when he said, "The church as a mystery of mutual Trinitarian love is true to itself only if the circle of love is being constantly enlarged, only if new persons are continually being brought within it. Faith in the triune God signifies that we are each of us missionaries dedicated to the preaching of the gospel. Well, as Holy Saturday reminded us that we were baptized into Christ's death in order that we may live a new life, so too Holy Saturday is reminiscent of the resplendent triumph that is marked by Christ's descent into Hades, a triumph by which Christ tramples down death by death. His descent is at once one of the most mysterious and simultaneously one of the most marvelous occurrences in all of New Testament history. An event that I freely confess I have tragically trivialized as a direct result of, well, inadequate comprehension. Little did I understand that Christ's descent is an inseparable part of the dogmatic tradition of the ancient church. It was shared by all members of the church, and this is reflected in the New Testament. It's reflected in the works of the early Christian apologists, of the fathers and the teachers of the church, of ancient and later writers of both the East and the West, as well as in the baptismal creeds, the Eucharistic services, and in the liturgical texts. Moreover, as has been fittingly noted, Christ's descent into Hades is referred to more than 50 times during the services of Holy Friday and Holy Saturday, more than 200 times during the festal period that we call Pentecost, and more than 150 times in the resurrectional and festal hymns over the course of a whole year. Hymns that we sing in parts such as, O Day of Resurrection, let us beam with God's own pride. Let everyone embrace in joy. Let us warmly greet those we meet and treat them like our brothers, even those who hate us. Let all the earth resound with this song, Christ is risen from the dead, conquering death by death. And on those in the grave, bestowing life. In the words of the extraordinary polymath and golden speaker, John Damascene, through his descent into hell, Christ opened the way to paradise for all and calls all to salvation. For some, Christ's preaching led to salvation, while for others it only exposed their unbelief. And adds the venerable John Chrysostom, this call is not coercive or forcible. Everyone is called, but not all follow the call. For in the mercy of God, there are no obstacles other than the free will of humankind. Christ's descent into Hades marks a quintessential historical turning point. Hades is no longer a place of oblivion and abandonment, but it is a place filled with the radiance of Christ's loving presence. A love that torments sinners, just as it intoxicates those destined for salvation. Holy Saturday iconography is rife with meaning, none more so than the traditional icon, which portrays Christ radiant in hues of white and blue, standing on the devastated gates of Hades. With arms outstretched, he joins hands with Adam and all other Old Testament righteous encountered there. With one arm, he unfetters Adam. With the other, he liberates the righteous. As wondrously communicated in the Vesperal Liturgy of Holy Saturday, today Hades cries out groaning, "I should not have accepted the morn, the man born of Mary. He came and destroyed my power. He shattered the gates of brass. As God, he raised the souls I held captive. Glory to thy cross. Glory to thy resurrection, O Lord." Holy Saturday. We'll be back in just a few moments with answers to your questions. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
In Free to Believe, Luke Goodrich, a leading religious freedom attorney and veteran of multiple Supreme Court battles, equips Christians to understand religious liberty in our rapidly changing culture. In clear and compelling prose, he explains why it matters, how it is threatened, and how to respond with confidence and grace. To receive your copy of Free to Believe, The Battle Over Religious Liberty in America, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
Many Americans feel their religious freedom is under attack. They see the culture changing and fear their beliefs will soon be punished as a form of bigotry. Others think these fears are overblown and say Christians should stop complaining about imaginary persecution. In Free to Believe, leading religious freedom attorney Luke Goodrich combines frontline experience with faithful attention to Scripture to show why religious freedom matters, how it is threatened, and how to protect it. With penetrating insights on gay rights, abortion, Islam, and the public square, Goodrich argues that threats to religious freedom are real, but they might not be quite what you think. To receive your copy of Free to Believe, The Battle Over Religious Liberty in America, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go to our callers. First up is Deborah in Stony Plain, Alberta, listening on CJCA. Hi, Deborah.
Hello.
Your question.
My question is, when a person gets baptized, do they become a new creation right away, or does God slowly work in your life over time?
Well, that's a really good question, actually. When you are baptized, you are enlightened by the Holy Spirit. You take up your cross and you daily follow Jesus Christ. And then your growth is a transformational growth that stretches from one glory to another. In other words, that growth is something that develops over time, just as relationships in general develop over time. But when you are baptized, a beautiful thing happens. Paul says, in sort of a query form, he says, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." So yes, we are new creations living a new life. So in the new covenant, we see baptism as the means by which we enter the kingdom of God, a means by which, as I just mentioned, we're joined to Christ and we are granted the remission of our sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And our first dying with Christ in baptism, being buried with Christ in baptism, was our death with him on the cross. And of course, there's a second death. And that second death is what I'm alluding to. It's continual. It's dying to sin daily as we walk in newness of life. It is our being joined to Christ in his glorified humanity and indwelt by God himself. So we're raised to new life for a purpose, and that purpose is union and communion with God. And in that sense, baptism is the beginning of eternal life. And Peter writes about this baptism when he says, "Baptism now saves us. It is not the mere removal of dirt from our bodies, but provides us with a good conscience towards God." In other words, through baptism, we become new creations in Christ.
Okay, because I am struggling. Like before I got baptized, like I felt like I was, like demonic activity was working in me. Like I, like voodoo and black and white magic were used on me. And like I feel, and then I got baptized, and I feel like it's the same things happening.
Well, remember that baptism is not a magic ritual. It is the way in which you are enlightened, but you enter into the community of faith, and it's in the community of faith that you are taught. In the ancient church, many people, before they were baptized, would be under a serious time of study and contemplation. And then they would be baptized. So they go into the church with an understanding of what this enlightenment represents. But baptism is never a Lone Ranger activity. It's always something that is done in the context of entering into the body of Christ. And then once you enter the body of Christ, baptism is added to by chrismation. Chrismation being the empowerment that comes from the Holy Spirit. And that chrismation then gives way to something that happens on an ongoing basis, and that is the receiving of the energies of God. And the receiving of the energies of God comes through the graces that are bestowed on you in the context of the Eucharistic assembly, that is, the church. So you partake of the Eucharist, and the Eucharist doesn't give you biological energy, but it gives you zoetic energy. It gives you spiritually powerful energy that is transformative in your life. So again, all of this happens within the context of the body of Christ, a healthy, well-balanced church. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Robert in Tallahassee, Florida, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Robert.
Hey, Hank. Yes, I have two questions for you. One of them should be pretty simple to answer, but the other one I've struggled with for some time, and that is, I know that we are saved through faith alone, but I was wondering, what provision does the Bible make for, like, very young children or even adults that don't have the mental capacity to believe in Christ or accept Christ as their Savior?
Yeah, well, you know, there are a couple of ways of answering that, but one of the ways of answering that question has to do with what I was talking about in the first part of the broadcast today. When you are relieved of your body, the impairments that come in a fallen world, when you die, you are still alive spiritually. And in the passage that I was talking about earlier today, Christ, during his earthly sojourn, ministered to people, but he also proclaimed the gospel, as Peter puts it, between his death and his resurrection. And people can respond as Adam, such that they are taken from Hades to the throne room of God, as it were, from the place of torment to the place of bliss, depicted in Luke chapter 16 as Abram's bosom. And the early church was quite unanimous in believing that this message of salvation is proclaimed to all. So the one thing we know, however this is parsed, is that God is absolutely just. God is absolutely merciful, and therefore we can reliably trust that God would never reject anyone that sincerely wanted to follow him and was incapacitated in some way. And as I've said many times in this broadcast, it's not the absence of truth that damns. It's always the despising of truth that damns. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Paul in San Diego, California. Paul is also listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Paul.
How are you today?
I'm doing good.
I got an interesting question for you. About a year ago, I bought a pendant, and it was a cross. And I have a very, very close relationship with God. And when I bought it, I saw it, and I liked it. I liked it a lot. But I was aware that the stones were man-made. But it really didn't matter. However, not really thinking about it, I showered with it regularly, and it has discolored the stones dramatically. And it's gone from appearance-wise, to where people would compliment it on it because it was so nice in appearance, to where now it's got to go. There's no way to fix it. And so I went ahead and bought a new cross, and I really like it. I waited until I found one that I really liked, has Jesus right on it. And then lo and behold, now that it's time to throw out the other cross, in my relationship with God, I realized I already knew it, but it really hit home how much this cross mattered to me. I can't give it to anybody because of the discoloration of it. It's of no use to anybody.
Well, it's a lot of, really, I got to answer your question really quickly because I'm out of time. But I think it's a lot of use to you because it has a tremendous meaning that has accumulated over the process of time. And sometimes the cliche applies, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. That cross is obviously transcendently meaningful to you and therefore very beautiful to you as well. So whereas people may not compliment you on that cross, you can look at that cross and know its significance in your life over time. And don't forget that the early church made the sign of the cross over themselves as a way of identifying themselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be right back here Tuesday with more of the show. Look forward to that.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you the book, Free to Believe, The Battle Over Religious Liberty in America by Luke Goodrich. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. You can also write to CRI, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.